This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
They expect me to walk away from Luton with nothing. I'll make very sure there's nothing to walk away from.
Hello and welcome to Oak Road Hatter podcast after what's been a pretty mixed weekend after that terrible result on Saturday, and then things really seem to pick up a bit today, but we'll get onto that later on. First, I'm joined by Jamie Castle. How are you doing, Jamie?
Yeah, not too bad. I think you alluded to it. At 5 p.m. on Saturday, I was dreading this little episode just to digest and go into detail about what actually went wrong. But don't you just love Notts Forest? And I'm going to call them Notts because it's going to get at them even more. Don't you love Forest cheering us right up with that tweet at, what was it, 15:37 seconds after the final whistle? And if you're watching this pod and you've not seen that tweet, then where the hell have you been on Sunday? But no, overall it's going to be a fun pod, I think, now.
And how are you doing, Stephen?
Not too bad. I've enjoyed the football today. And I was going to say, Jamie, it's bold of you to assume that Forest fans would be listening to us, but at the same time, they're obsessed, so...
I'll make sure of it, mate. I'll make sure of it with my hashtags and my tags in the tweet. Don't worry about that.
So we'll get straight into things, and we'll start with yesterday's result. Obviously, we were looking into that game, and for most of us, it felt like a must-win. Or at least a must not lose. And that certainly wasn't the case with what happened on the pitch. So, obviously, defeated 5-1. And I think the one for us was pretty generous, to be honest. And they could have probably scored more. We could have... Honestly, I wasn't really sure what happened in that game. So, what did you think of the performance itself, Jamie? What went wrong?
I think everything. I think everything went wrong all in one go. But if you sort of just like row back a minute, I mean, at 1400 on Saturday, when the team was released, there was audible like cheers in Wetherspoons at seeing Sambi Lokonga and Gabe Osho and Ted and Mengi all back in the 11. And obviously I was excited, and it was good to see those three in particular back in the squad. But then walking up to Lekenny, you just get that feeling where you're just sort of so scared of being so optimistic about a game that that is about to sort of come and almost got proved right from the first whistle. I think we looked fairly okay going forwards in the first half. I thought Jordan Clark was pulling a few good strings and found some nice balls behind the last line, especially into Chong. And then Doughty had a shot, I believe, as well, that probably should have done better with. So I think going forwards, we looked okay. I think there probably wasn't too much wrong going forwards. But yeah, just defensively, just mistakes. And I think some fortune. I think you have to credit Brentford, Mbeumo, Vissa, Lewis Potter, all looked really good. I think Mbeumo is showing us just what the Premier League is like for what is a mid-table Premier League team. To have a player like that in their 11 just shows how strong this league is. So yeah, I think 2-0 certainly wasn't flattering going into the break. It could have been 3 or 4, but then at the same time you gutted that it was 2 because so close to hanging on to 1, and you think who knows what could happen in the second half if we're only 1-0 down. But yeah, I think quickly sort of got that feeling of it wasn't going to be our afternoon, and then the second half was just almost calamitous. If I'm Rob, probably embarrassed by that performance. In who'd be a manager, right? All the work you put in the training ground in the week, tactical setups and player to target, things to do, and then just it goes from bad to worse in that second half, and you think at 3-0, you think okay, game's dead. Just don't let it get away from you. But then seconds later, for it to be 4, and then 5, yeah, it was a very, very bad day at the office. Worst performance of the season, hands down. There's no excuses. You can't say there was any worse performances than that. Even the Burnley games and the Sheffield United games were better than that. Obviously, a bit of a shame with Luke Berry's goal. Pleased for him to get his second Premier League goal now. But yeah, all in all, a very, very disappointing afternoon.
And you mentioned obviously the second goal that came just before half time. Do you think that had a real effect on the way things panned out in the second half, Stephen?
Yeah, I think so. I think we were all sort of praying to go in at 1-0. And I think you could sort of see signs that we were weak and coming like when Brentford were counter-attacking, and there was that worry there. And it was like, if we can get in at half-time at 1-0, we're strong when we're chasing a game. And we have been this season, like most of it. Like we always put in performances when we're chasing a game for some reason. And so if we were only chasing one goal, I would have come out of half time thinking, you know what, we've got a chance here. But conceding that second one, it's like, okay, maybe the best thing we're gonna get out of this is a draw. But weirder things have happened. But then those 2 minutes on what was it? Just after the 60 mark, just fell apart. And yeah, should always, we definitely should have gone in at 1-0, but we just lapse of concentration and sort of not buried us, but harder to come back from.
And conceding 5 goals for a second match in a row is really, it's quite a big issue for the goal difference, which could be really crucial at the end of the season. So what did you think of the way we conceded and how open we seemed to be, Jamie?
Yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, yeah, you said they're back-to-back fives, but for Man City, you expect it, right? So there's no concern with the Man City five. Perhaps maybe sort of letting those two late on might be a bit of a red flag, given it was 3-1, game's dead. But yeah, but you bring on two youngsters as well with Nelson and Johnson, so you sort of think, okay, fine, it is what it is. But yeah, not good in terms of a home game against Brentford. Not the first time against Brentford, right? They've had some pretty big scorelines against us in the past. Don't need to refer to like one at Griffin Park anymore than we already have. Yeah, it's just really just disappointing, and especially when you have a back three, or okay, albeit second half, but we obviously lost Burke to I think he was ill anyway to start with, so probably Rob just took him off and just saved him. But yeah, to have two of your strongest centre halves, even when everyone's fit on the pitch, is a bit concerning. Yeah, you don't really want to delve too deep into it, because I think, again, Mbombo was really good, Vissa was really good. I mean, some great finishes and some great moves by them. So I think we have to recognise and give credit to Brentford. They were as good as we were bad, I thought. So yeah, slight concern, but almost just need to go back to basics now. Ironically, probably an away game is going to suit us in the next game rather than a game at home to a team that we expect to win. I think if we went into Everton at home on the back of that, you'd probably be a bit not scared. I mean, watching them today, clearly, obviously, they beat Forest, and we'll go into that result later on. But they're a team that they're definitely beatable in terms of that. But just to go into that game, a game of that magnitude on the back of a 5-1 at home, I think would add some unnecessary nerves to that performance. So it's almost, I think, good now that we go away to Wolves and hopefully go a bit back to basics and almost think no matter what the points outcome is, just keep a clean sheet would be nice. If you probably said to me now 0-0 away at Wolves, I probably would be happy with that given where we've been defensively. I think that it's important to get that confidence back defensively going into those last three games. So yes, slight concern. Hopefully we have Burke back to full fitness, and he loses the flu, and we can sort of get Mengi and Osho wrapped in cotton wool, maybe get Mads back, because can't help but think that Mads Anderson with the height could probably certainly stop the third one. I think it was Pinnock. I mean, free header from the corner, come on, that's just basics. You can't be doing that in the Premier League. So yeah, a few causes for concern, but again, it's an exception to the rule this season, and I think we have to sort of go back to that. And I think there were some overreactions, some people almost writing off our centre halves and being like, no matter what league we're in the summer, we need a big overhaul at the back. But come on, you have players like Mengi and Osho and Burke and Bell that we've praised loads this season, and quite rightly that they've all deserved the praise that they've got. So you're now saying that if we go down to the Championship, we need an overhaul. It's like, come on, let's just not overreact. It was an awful game, awful day at the office. We cannot escape that fact, but just try and almost ground ourselves. We've been humbled by a very good Brentford team, and just hope that it is an exception and been going to Wolves next Saturday and putting a good performance both in attack but mainly in defence.
And Brentford really were just better in every single position on the pitch and every blade of grass. Their press, what I thought, was absolutely brilliant, and their midfield completely controlled the game, particularly Jensen, I thought. What did you make of that team and the way they played, Stephen?
I think I said about they, on the counter-attack, we looked weak, and they knew what they were doing. I'm looking at the table right now, and I think from that performance, you would not think that's a team in 15th. You'd say maybe at the height of where Wolves are in 11th or 10th. And yeah, I think they kind of knew we were going to be weak, and they came out of the blocks firing. And I mean, I don't like to say that they were better in every single position, but it was a horrible day, and they were better. And you could sort of, it was one of those ones where it felt like everything just fell to them again. Like, we've had that a few times this season where the ball just never falls to us. But I think that's more of that's them on the press. They're going to be more aware. They're going to be more awake. And they pounced on us having almost very little concentration. And if, you know, yeah, I'm just surprised that they're down at 15 with that performance, because I wasn't there at the away game. I didn't get to see too much of what it was like, but from that performance, I fully expect them to be a lot higher than that. And they were, to be honest, annoyingly almost a joy to watch. If you're a neutral watching that, you'd be thinking like, Brentford are a good team to watch, and yeah.
I do think Brentford are in a false position this season. I think if you look over their season, and obviously we've had the injuries that we've had, but they've lost Henry for large parts of the season, Pinnock for large parts of the season. Ayer has been in and out a little bit. Jensen and Norgaard in midfield, they've obviously lost Tony. Obviously, Tony didn't play at the weekend, but lost Tony for 6 months. Mbomo and Visser has been both injured. I think Mbomo went to AFCON and got injured at AFCON. So not only did they miss him for January and February, but for parts of March when he was injured as well. So there's some big players to miss. It's sort of, don't want to be seen to backtrack, because on the last episode, me and Billy were very excited and optimistic to the game and thought we could get something, but also recognising that they are a very good team. So probably can't read too much into where they are on the table. I think if you look at the sides we played at home in particular this season, I mean, we played everyone now at home by Everton and Fulham, and by the top six teams, I probably think they're one of the best we've played. I think if you look back at the sides that have come to us this season, Palace, obviously we beat them, so it's probably hindsight to say, but bar Elise, that they were man for man okay at bang average. Newcastle, who are up there, looked again okay, but we defended them really well. I thought Wolves looked pretty good, but I think the comparison at the time was we weren't too good of a side or as good of a side as we are now, so that they looked better than us back on that day. So if you look back through all the home games, and that's just three I've mentioned there, I think they're probably the best non-top six team we played at ours this season. Villa looked good, but obviously we still caused a bit more threat against Villa and they looked a bit more shaky at the back. But in terms of that back four performance, I mean, Ayer, Collins, Pinnock and Reguilon, they were pretty much rocks all game, obviously barring a mistake where Bez got in. So I think it's worth us all recognising how good they are as a team. I think last season they were knocking on the door for Europe. This year they're not, because of the injuries and the big losses that they've had this season, and probably looking at next season now, if they can strengthen, they probably not on the door for Europe again next season. So yeah, I think it's just worth having probably that little bit of perspective of how good a side they are. Thomas Frank's a great coach as well and had them tactically spot on, limited us in all the areas that we needed to be limited. That interplay with Barkley just wasn't quite happening. So yeah, I think you just have to recognise how well that club operates as well.
I thought their set pieces were a real threat. Obviously, they scored from one of them. But every single corner they delivered into the box was a different routine. They had different people moving across different areas of the box, and it was causing absolute chaos. So I thought you could see we were going to concede from a set piece at some point. And also I thought we were lucky that it wasn't more than once. But we'll move on from sort of that performance. Well, what do you think the impact of that sort of defeat is on the final four games, Stephen?
I think before the game yesterday, I think it was Martin Keown had written an article about how our tunnel vision is not the best thing, but it also works for us. Like in the way of that we can take a battering and next day we're over it. We're not dwelling on it. We're not sitting on it. We're not worrying about it. The only thing that we can really worry about from the last two games is a goal difference. If we're going into the final game of the season and there's a good chance we're going to finish level on points with someone, that's going to be really disappointing. But at the same time, like, again, conceding 5 against City, kind of expected. But I don't think it's going to have much of an impact. If anything, I hope it gives them a kick up the arse as well, because you want to be going to this Wolves game with not confidence, but you want to be fired up for it. Because they've got nothing to play for really now, so and they're going to be dangerous in the way that they're just going to want to see the season out the best way that they can, and they're not going to be too stressed about anything. So we're the ones that are stressing, and we're the ones that have got to turn up and actually play. And yeah, but I think back to that Martin Keown article, I think it does suit us to just get it out of our head. Whatever's happened this weekend, get it out of our head by Monday, move on. Because then we sort of expected to take batterings this year, and we haven't really, but there's been a few heartbreaking losses. But even then, it's been the next day we're over it and straight back to the next game. So I think, I don't think it's going to have much of an impact, if any at all.
Thank you, Stephen. And we'll take a break right now, but when we come back, we'll be discussing that Nottingham Forest meltdown.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to Oak Road Hatter. I'm still joined by Jamie Castle and Stephen Day. And now we're going to discuss the Everton-Nottingham Forest game, which, looking ahead of the game, we probably wanted a draw, I would say, was the result that maybe suited us best. But in fact, what actually happened was, obviously, Everton won 2-0, and I think potentially that suits us slightly better. So what do you think, Jamie?
I think, ironically, I was looking at the run-ins in the tables before the game, and I think a draw would have been perfect because it almost keeps both in touching distance. But I probably wanted a Forest win, to be honest, because I think I'm looking at the remaining fixtures. And we play Everton, so that gives us a chance to get ahead of them. They host Liverpool. I think they also host Sheffield United, so you assume that they win that, and then they host Brentford. But then they go to Arsenal final day as well, and I think there's one more in there. So you're thinking that, I mean, other than the Sheffield United game, they probably have a chance of getting no more points, right? Obviously, assuming that we beat them. So they were on, 27 before the game? So if they hadn't beat Forest, that would have been 30. And that would have been 30 and out is the assumption. And with us on 25, that's two wins. That's win both your home games and you're safe. So I think, for me, probably a Forest win was better than an Everton win, just the way that worked. But that's all obviously in sort of the what-if area now. Everton have won it, so fine. That puts them on 30 points, isn't it now, I think? So five ahead of us. Obviously, we have a chance to make that two in the game against us. Forest on 26. I think Wednesday is the appeal hearing, right? So we should hear fairly soon. It's good that they've been able to expedite that before the end of the season. So that could have a big impact on the remaining games. So yeah, we're 25, Forest 26, Everton 30. So it's made it a bit interesting. I think so Everton, assuming they beat Sheffield United, 33. So that means that we need to get 9 points to get ahead of Everton now, which, yeah, 3 wins out of 4, which is a mammoth ask. But I back us to sort of pull something out of our ass, basically, and just try and win 3 of those last 4 games. And then, yeah, Forest have an okay run. They host City and Chelsea and then go to Burnley final day, which is just ginormous, right? There's a chance that Burnley have put themselves well in the fight. And then they go to Sheffield United as well. And okay, yeah, they've been the battering boys of the season, so cool. But they won't want to go down without making a dent in someone's season and trying to finish the season on a bit of a high and going into the Championship next year. So again, that's not an easy run in. Again, 26 points. There's an argument to say that they may only get one more win from that as well. So it's a really, really interesting run in. But yeah, we need to do our own bit and do our own job, and that starts with getting something at Wolves and then hopefully going into the Everton game and beating them at our place on that Friday night.
And Everton is our next home game coming up after the Wolves game, and watching that match, the whole game itself was a pretty tough watch from an entertainment perspective. I felt myself getting distracted quite a lot. It was just not very easy to... Well, it wasn't a very watchable game of football. And Everton didn't really at any point look massively threatening. I don't know if you felt the same way, Stephen, but how are you feeling about what you've watched going into that game in a couple of weeks' time?
I wasn't actually able to watch the game, so I can't say a lot on how they performed. But from what I have seen from Everton when I have watched them is that there's not a lot of spine to them. There's not a lot of like control. They don't take control of games. And I think that's what we've got over them is that we've got a core to our team and we know what we're good at. Whereas it just feels like Everton don't really know what they're good at. They're just sort of going into games hoping that they're going to get a result. And fortunately for them today that they did. And I believe that that's going to work for us against them.
Yeah, and we'll move on to what could have happened in the game today, which we've sort of been skirting around, but it's the main talking point of the game. If you'd had looked on social media, you wouldn't have actually known a game of football had been played today because all that's being spoken about is our friend Stuart Atwell. Thank you, Stuart, very much for being part of the pod at some point. And the decisions that weren't given for Forest. So in there was a ball that was deflected off Ashley Young's arm, which was pretty similar to a penalty that was given in the FA Cup semi-final between Coventry and Man United. Then there was a couple of fouls. One of them definitely looked like it should have been a penalty. I don't know what you thought about it, but none of those were given. And then after the game, it has emerged that, Nottingham Forest, immediately after the final whistle, have exploded on Twitter with what's clearly not a very well thought out tweet, or maybe it is a very well thought out tweet because it was quite well worded. But what did you think of, firstly, the decisions that have made, Jamie, and then also the resultant tweet? And if you haven't seen the tweet, anyone listening, I recommend you go and have a look.
Can we just have a minute silence just for Forrest's loss quickly? Just because obviously they're quite upset. But no, I mean, first of all, on the decisions. The first one, the handball. Yeah, I mean, again, if you put them side by side with the one on, was it Wan-Bissaka in the semi-final? Basically the same thing. One got given, one didn't, which, yeah, I do get the perspective or where Forrest are coming from. Inconsistencies, fine. Should it be a handball? Subjective. Modern day, yes. 20 years ago, no. Clearly, yes, it's a tough one. Of the other two, I did see the one on Nico Williams. I'm not sure if that's the one that you said was the one that you thought it was, but no, I thought Callum that wasn't Hudson-Odoi. At all.
Okay. The one on Callum Hudson-Odoi was the real, definitely looks like a penalty for me.
No, I've not seen that one.
Ashley Young as well, so.
Oh, God. I've not seen that one, but the one on Nico Williams wasn't, right? So, okay, you've got an argument for half penalty out of the two. I'll take your word and say the one on Callum Hudson-Odoi was a penalty. So, okay, yeah. So you should have got one, maybe two penalties. But to blame it on Mr. Stuart Hatwell, I'm going to call him. Come on. You're blaming your own league of corruption, basically, is what you're saying in that tweet. And whether it was well thought out or not, I mean, it was sent 30 seconds after the full-time tweet. So quite clearly, the admin was bored in the second half and was just sort of trying to draft and redraft a tweet in the press box at Goodison just so we can press it as soon as the full-time whistle went. And I'm going to be really intrigued to see what happens this week. Premier League are probably arranging an emergency meeting to see how they react to it. Yeah, I mean, what was it? Rule B 13.6, I think it was, or whatever, 16.3. Bringing the game into disrepute, which is what they've done with that tweet. You're basically blaming your own league of corruption. I think everyone would agree with them if they blamed referees for being absolutely incompetent. We had one on Saturday, Jared Gillett. Didn't even talk about him in the first half. What a disgrace. Like, you cannot referee a game of football to save his life. I don't even want to get into the things that happened on the game. Had no factor in us losing, but clearly didn't help. So yeah, if everyone targeted referees for sheer incompetence, then by all means, I think they would have had most of the league on their side. First of all, say that you had warned the league before the game. Warned is the word that they'd use, basically saying if he fucks up, we're gonna have it in because he's a Luton fan and it impacts our results. You've warned the league that he's a Luton fan, and that you blamed him as the reason. Bearing in mind that there's also a referee, a couple of linesmen's, a VAR, an assistant VAR, but you're blaming the one Luton fan out of those five people for not giving you one, maybe two penalties. So therefore, you're going to explore your options as to see what you can do. Boys, you've lost. You lost a game of football. It hurts. I know. I was gutted yesterday for most of the evening. It's just laughable, and I think it's now gone against him. I think a lot of the league have gone against him. You sort of saw Neville's comments and Carragher's comments and a lot of the other sort of press and pundits' comments. It sets a very dangerous precedent if you're going to try and sue the league or blame the league for choosing a fan that might have a conflict of interest as a VAR and might sort of go against you. But I've just said that I actually would rather the Forest win. Like that's a Luton fan's perspective, that I thought a Forest win would be better, but probably if you were to poll the Luton fan base, the most likely outcome would have been draw. But you're blaming the Luton fan for losing to Everton. Like, it's just, yeah, it's just an absolute mess. I don't dislike many clubs other than the obvious couple, but I think Forest are quickly becoming on that list just for having a bit of a self-righteous attitude and almost like a why always me, everyone hates Forest. No, don't play the victim. It's happened to all of us. Yes, you may have had the bad end of the stick more times than most this season, for which I think you have every right to have a word with the league and say, look, come on, like, let's get this right and explore how to improve officiating. But to explore your options and warn the league as a Luton fan just makes it a bit laughable and puts everyone against you personally.
And their owner, obviously, Evangelos Marinakis, has been seen to be quite hot-headed anyway. After their home game against Liverpool, he supposedly chased an official down the tunnel at the stadium. So I don't think it's reflecting very well on the club. And then when this tweet came out, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a fake account. And then you see it's got a gold tick on the account and people quickly realising it's the official account. I just couldn't believe it myself. But yeah, I think it really shows that there's someone in charge of that football club that needs to understand that it's a very old and established club with a great history and a huge fan base as well. And sort of presenting those sorts of ideas doesn't really help the reputation of the club. I don't know what you think about that, Stephen.
He's a funny man, Marinakis. And I think I saw someone tweet that there's rumours going around that they'd composed, like, the Marinakis family, or he had composed the tweet in some way and asked the media team or whoever to tweet it out. And if that is the case, then that just shows even more of his character. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk up Forest too much because I'm starting to dislike them quite a lot. I was completely indifferent to them up until this season. Well, 2 years ago. And now I'm just I'm a bit fed up with them because, as Jamie said, they've got like the woe is me attitude. Like, why is everything against us? Why, you know, this Luton fan is, you know, ruined our game. And, well, any of the three outcomes would have been good for us in any way, shape or form. So, I'm quickly becoming fed up with them. And,
Something else I've noticed, I've thought about, they obviously pointed out the official in question, who's Stuart Hatwell, as we're now calling him, if they hadn't mentioned him at all, there'd been no one would have taken any notice whatsoever, and it would have just been seen as mistakes by the on-field referee and the VAR team. But because they've then said this, it's now become almost a joke, really, especially among Luton fans. It's really lifted the spirits after what was a pretty shocking Saturday. It's really united Luton Twitter for the first time all weekend, which is quite a fun place to be at the moment. And I think Stuart Atwell might be getting his own song on Saturday at Wolves, which would not have been the case had Forrest not united us. So thank you to Forrest for uniting the Luton fans. But yeah, and for me, it's so misjudged and so... Surely there's someone in that media team who is a very professional... There'll be a very professional media team who have been in that job for a long time. Surely someone along the line thought, we shouldn't post this. And then when they posted it, I thought, why are they not deleting this? So I don't know. I've seen some Forest fans on Twitter sort of trying to defend it, and I've seen other Forest fans on Twitter just almost embarrassed by it because of the way it's been picked up. But everyone is laughing at them now, essentially.
Yeah, if that was Luton Town and they tweeted that, I'd be embarrassed. I'd be like, come on, lads. Yeah, okay. Say that was Luton for Everton, and we come out and we didn't get a penalty in our favour, which we have had loads this season. And we were like, oh no, there was that Forest fan who was in the VAR booth up in the Midlands somewhere at St George's Park. And that was the reason why we lost. That alone was the reason why we lost. Yeah, just embarrassing. And just to scroll on the Sky Sports app and see the breaking news feed of Luton Town fan blamed for the reason Forest lost away at Everton. I think our work here in this league is done. We've come up. We've rattled some people, but beyond comprehension. No one in that area of the table likes the fact that Luton Town, of all clubs, are the ones that are fighting for it and could be the team that relegates them. Because by all means, if that was Burnley or Sheffield United, Forest or Everton fans would not be as scared as they are right now. That they thought of the three clubs that could relegate them, it wouldn't be us. So yeah, it makes it all the more sweeter, and obviously we want to stay up. But I think, yeah, if we do go down now, then so be it. I mean, if you told me right now that we would go down alongside Sheffield United and Forest, and Burnley stayed up for some reason, I'd be like, well in, lads, because playing them in the Championship next season, probably having a sort of a head-to-head battle for promotion, will be amazing. There'll always be this little bit of angst now. I think it started in the Championship when we were sort of in that battle for playoffs, and I think they were going sort of for top two, and then was it 1-1 at their place? I think it was.
If it was the game you're thinking about, 0-0 and Adebayo missed a penalty.
Yes, yeah, that's the one. Yeah. So yeah, I thought, yeah. So yeah, 0-0 and he missed a penalty, and obviously could have won that. I think it was midweek as well, right? Yeah, I think since that game, there's always been a bit of angst between the two clubs. Then obviously we've come up and they're like, oh God. Almost like that Ricky Gervais tweet in the pub where he's looking over his shoulder and we're here in the Premier League. And then to go to their place and then get that sort of 2-0 down and equalise the 2-2. They're thought, oh, for God's sake, Luton Town again. We're almost like that really embarrassing younger brother that just keeps sort of like following the older brother around. I just love it. It's just so funny.
And we've now got a lot of other fan bases now on our side from it, just because the way things they've gone about things and the way they've reacted to the points deductions and things like that. And talking on the points deductions, they got an extra 2 points. They kept an extra 2 points for cooperating with the Premier League or something. So I'm not sure what happens now, because they're appealing that points deduction currently. So I wouldn't say they're cooperating at the moment.
They are in a big pickle right now. They've got a hearing on Wednesday, just 3 days after tweeting that tweet, where in the minutes of the last appeal it was like, now we're going to give you 2 points back, lads, because you cooperated with us. But you've since appealed it, and you've now since blamed the league for basically being corrupt. the hat trick of things would just be to give them an extra 2 points deduction, put them in the bottom three, let us get out of it, then we'll be a point clear with four to go. Bring it on. I mean, for me, if that happens, that's all I deserve. I feel sorry for Everton, really, having had 8 points deducted for, okay, two breaches, but lesser breaches than Forest in terms of the actual number. So for Forest to have only got four, I mean, they deserve six. No doubt about it. Forest deserve minus 6 points. So I hope they get what's coming for them on Wednesday. I hope they get plunged into the bottom three on Wednesday or whatever we hear in the days following.
I think there'd be riots in Nottingham. I reckon there'd be riots if they got 2 points taken off of them. I cannot see them. Well, they're obviously not going to react well, but I think it would just be the head loss to end all head losses. It'd be wonderful.
I think it'll be riots led by Evangelos Marounakis. And we'll finish there. But so thank you, Jamie, and thank you, Stephen, for joining me today. But before we go, we've been talking about it for the entire episode, so we'll give you a read of that tweet. Three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. NFFC will now consider its options. Thank you from Oak Road Hatter, and we'll see you next episode.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.